Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us for our second quarter fiscal year 2019 results conference call. After the call, we will have a Q&A session, and with that, I'm going to hand over to our CEO, Markus Tacke. Markus?
Thank you, Christina, and good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for joining us today. I'll take this call with our CFO, David Mesonero, to present Siemens Gamesa's results for the second quarter and the first half year of fiscal year 2019. Before giving David the floor to go into the details of the second quarter and the first half year performance, I would like to provide you with an overview of where we stand today. April 3 marked 2 years since the merger that created Siemens Gamesa Renewable Energy, and I'm confident saying it has been a thrilling, challenging, inspiring, and ultimately successful 2 years. In 2019, the energy transition keeps crushing along with a higher demand for renewables, but also more competition in the supply chain. In this challenging environment, where wind energy is becoming a mature technology, technology advancements are key to reduce LCOE. And that is where Siemens Gamesa is heading with its recent additions to the product portfolio. The SG10-193 offshore wind turbine was launched in January. The other novelty in our portfolio is the new SG5.8-155 and 5.8-170 onshore platform, the latter having the highest AEP in the market. Those turbines provide a significant increase in annual energy production, and the onshore turbines are suitable for most of the relevant wind markets across the globe. This will strengthen the position of Siemens Gamesa even further. Solid commercial activity enabled us to attain a record high order book of €23.6 billion, 7% up year over year. This order backlog provides us with visibility for 2019 and beyond, enabling us to cover 100% of the lower end of the revenue guidance, €10 to €11 billion for the current fiscal year, and 96% of the midpoint of our revenue guidance. Our order intake in quarter two stood at €2.5 billion, driving a strong contribution of our service business. Still, growth in firm order intake in the last 12 months was supported by all three business units, onshore, offshore, and service, which expands up to 8% year on year. Regarding pricing, we see a gradual stabilization since the beginning of fiscal year 2018, a trend that is maintained in the first half year of 2019. Our financial performance for the second quarter was in line with the guidance for the fiscal year, considering that activity is planned to be back-end loaded, concentrated in the last 6 months of the fiscal year. Group revenues amounted to about €2.4 billion, 7% more than in the same period over the previous year, with an EBIT margin pre-PPA and integration restructuring cost of 7.5%. Net profit amounted to €49 million in the second quarter, an increase of 40% year on year. The quarter ended with a net debt position on the balance sheet amounting to €118 million, comparable to the net debt position of the second quarter of 2018 and €733 million less than the net cash position booked at the end of the previous year, fiscal year 18. The change in the net cash position since is the result of the increase in working capital required to fund the significant increase in activities planned for the second half year of fiscal year 19. I also would like to highlight a new milestone in our Siemens Gamesa journey to excellence. Siemens Gamesa is the first wind turbine manufacturer to receive an investment grade rating by 2 credit rating agencies, Standard & Poor's and Moody's. Both agencies have underscored the company's leading position based on regional diversification and technology strength, as well as our financial management. The rating will allow us to further diversify and optimize our sources of funding, including capital markets. Let me now give the floor to David for more detailed explanations.
Thank you very much, Markus, and thanks to everybody who is with us today. A quarter that, as Markus highlighted, is in line with our fiscal year 2019 guidance range in the context of a back-end loaded activity in our onshore operations. A quarter also during which we achieved significant milestones in terms of commercial activity, product portfolio, and balance sheet optimization. So now moving to page number 6, the first milestone in the commercial front. Siemens Gamesa finished the quarter with a record order backlog of 24 billion euros, 7% up year on year, and very well balanced between the three business units. This record backlog is the result of a solid commercial performance during the last 12 months, and it reflects the group's sound competitive positioning. Strong progress in both onshore and service, while the offshore order book continues to show the usual volatility of order intake. 48% of the order backlog is in service, up 7% year on year to 11.3 billion euros, 800 million euros more than the backlog at the end of March 18, after a very strong quarter in terms of order intake. Higher margin, faster cash conversion, and longer contract duration describes this order backlog. 52% of the backlog is also very well balanced between the wind turbine business in onshore and offshore. 27% is in offshore, with good margins thanks to our execution track record and our leading product portfolio. The decline year on year is the result of a combination of very strong project execution in the quarter, nearly 700 megawatts, up 56% year on year, with the standard volatility of order intake. So, 75% of our order backlog is in offshore and service, both with strong growth prospects and good profitability. The remaining 25% is in onshore, or nearly 6 billion euros, up 34% year on year, 1.5 billion euros higher than the order book at the end of March 18. The onshore market is stabilizing progressively, but is still in transition. As a result, onshore business margins in our order backlog remain under significant pressure, and there is work to do our transformation program. We expect to see the beginning of the recovery in H2 19 as onshore revenue returns to growth, and we continue to benefit from the transformation program our new COO, Christoph Wollny. Moving now to page number 7, we can say that a direct consequence of a record backlog is top-line visibility for fiscal year 19 and beyond. We have 100% of the lower limit of our revenue guidance already in our backlog. So from a revenue perspective, we are already within our guidance range. We have 96% coverage of the midpoint, 4 points more than in Q1 19 and 16 points above the coverage at the beginning of the year. We expect some additional book and bill during this year. And we also have 18 billion euros to continue growing our top line in the future. Now moving to page number 8. Close to 11 billion euros in orders signed in the last 12 months, 1.2 times group revenues and 8% up year on year, supported by good growth in all the three market segments. Onshore, offshore, and service have grown between 7 and 8%. 2.5 billion euros in firm orders signed in the Q2 19, flat quarter on quarter, driven by a very strong performance in service with 750 million euros in firm orders, up 11% year on year and in line with the recovery we mentioned in Q1 19. Offshore order intake impacted by the standard volatility after a very strong fiscal year 18, but with very good prospect as we will see in page 10. And onshore, 1.2 billion euros and 1.7 gigawatts in order entry. This is absolutely in line with our expected average quarterly run rate of 2 gigawatts per quarter. In fact, 2.1 gigawatts for the first half of fiscal year 19. So happy with the result of our commercial efforts and with no change in our overall expectations for the year after H1 19 results. Now moving to page number 9. The energy transition has a very positive effect on the long-term prospects of wind. Volume-wise, we can see some of the benefits of this transition in this slide. 8.4 gigawatts in onshore order intake signed in the last 12 months, up 12% year-on-year and 1.7 gigawatts signed in the last quarter. We signed orders in 15 countries in the quarter and in 25 in the last 12 months. When we look to the last 12 months, we see very strong contribution from the U.S., 28%, India, 12%, and Brazil and Spain, 11% each, all core markets for us. We continue to see good potential in all those markets going forward. In Spain, with elections now over, we will be looking into the draft of the new energy plan, as it could bring very interesting opportunities for us, up to 2 GW in annual installation during the next decade. In Brazil, the interest in the upcoming June auction, the Lei Law A-4, has been very strong, with more than 23 GW of wind capacity registered to compete. In India, SECI VII auction is now taking place for another 1.2 GW of wind capacity, and everybody is familiar with the strong wind prospect in the U.S. from 2019 to 2021. Looking more specifically into Q2 19, we see a strong performance in the U.S. market, with nearly 800 megawatts or 44% of the total volume signed in the quarter, and the recovery of Canada with 194 megawatt order. Part of this success is due to our Siemens Gamesa 4.5 megawatt 145, that with 36% of total volume signed in the quarter has been very well received by our American customers. We also had a strong performance in China, 15% of total onshore volume signed in the quarter. We signed 217 megawatts in Q2, more than three times the volume signed in fiscal year 18. And regarding India, less activity this quarter, but we expect a recovery in the coming quarters. Now, the other side of the coin of this energy transition is turbine prices. Looking to the bottom left-hand side of the chart, the last 12 months ASP at March 17, 18, and 19, we can see a clear stabilization trend. After the double-digit pricing decline we saw following the first time introduction of auctions in different markets. And if we recall this same chart going back 4 quarters, minus 2% at the end of March 19, minus 5% at the end of December 18, minus 9% at the end of September, and minus 15% at the end of June 18. The quarterly evolution is always more volatile. We see that the ASP comes down in Q2 19, but there is no additional pricing pressure in the quarterly drop. Beyond regional and product mix, the ASP decline reflects the impact of lower scope, no tower, of our Chinese contracts. If we exclude these contracts, ASP would amount to 0.72 million euros per megawatt. Now, moving to page number 10. Normal volatility of our order intake, but with positive news that confirm our leadership in offshore, given our technological expertise, product portfolio, and execution track record. From another intake perspective, CMate enters our backlog this quarter together with a 17-year service contract. At the same time, we signed two preferred supplier agreements. The first one with Eolien Maritime France to supply 1 GW in projects that were auctioned in the 2012 French tender. With Vattenfall, this is participating in the auctions of HKZ 3 and 4 with our new 10-megawatt platform described by Marcus. Now moving to our financial performance in page number 12. We continue to grow our top line, 7% year-on-year in the quarter and 6% in the first half, to 2.4 billion euros and 4.7 billion euros respectively, supported, as it was the case in Q1 19, by double-digit growth in offshore and service. Onshore revenue are still declining at a slower pace than in Q1 19, thanks to the recovery in activity. Onshore sales volume is up 22%. Excluding solar sales, onshore revenue would have increased 4% year-on-year, still well below the double-digit growth in volumes due to the impact of lower pricing that is feeding through from the order backlog to the P&L. We expect a recovery of onshore sales growth in the second half of the year. EBIT margin, PPA, and IR cost down 1 point year-on-year at 7.5%. Pricing in our order backlog continues to be the main drag in the evolution of the group profitability, and more specifically, the profitability of onshore projects. 66 million euros in PPA amortization, in line with fiscal year 19 expectation of 250 million euros, and 22 million euros in integration and restructuring charge. We are accelerating the transformation program to compensate the performance on onshore. This has led to increase slightly our expectation of restructuring charge, as Marcus will explain in our guidance section. Reported net income in Q2 19 has increased 40%. Net debt position of 118 million euros, driven by the increase in working capital ahead of the peak activity levels we expect for the second half of the year. Now moving to slide number 13. We can see the drivers of revenue growth in Q2 19. Offshore and service and the single-digit decline of onshore, several things we should discuss in this slide. First, onshore revenue performance in Q2 is driven by a strong recovery of sales volume that we will see in the next page, negatively compensated by, first, pricing in our order backlog at the beginning of the quarter. Second, a scope of projects, project mix, and regional mix. And third, solar sales. We should see a recovery of revenue growth in Q3 19. Second, offshore business. Very strong performance, but fully in line with a strong level of activity plan for the year. As we said in Q1 19, be careful not to extrapolate the revenue growth in H1 19, 21% to the rest of the year. Some of you probably remember that in fiscal year 18, our offshore activity was back-end loaded. This means that revenue growth rates into H2 should slow down. And third, service business. Also, very good growth driven mainly by growth in traditional maintenance service. Again, a note of caution not to extrapolate this high double-digit growth rate into H2 19. Now, moving to page 14. A strong onshore volume recovery in Q2 19, driven by EMEA, that more than doubles the sales volume to nearly 800 megawatts in the quarter, with Spain being the largest contributor, 20% of total sales volume, as we work to commission the projects ahead of the end of 2019. Norway was the second with 11%. On a country basis, the US is the largest contributor with 28%. It is important to highlight the change in the regional and project mix and scope of sales year on year, as did it impact our profitability. In Q2 18, we executed very attractive projects in LATAM, especially Brazil and Mexico, with pre-auction pricing in the case of Mexico and old auction pricing in the case of Brazil. This has translated into a larger negative pricing impact year on year in Q2 19 than what we experienced in Q1 19. You can see this when calculating the revenue ASP of the onshore business. In Q2 18, the ASP of the megawatt, 0.86 million euros per megawatt, excluding solar sales, was flat year on year, and 18% up sequentially from Q1 18. So really, a pre-auction price level. Q2 19 ASP of 0.73 million euros per megawatt was sequentially face a pre-auction ASP level comparison. Now moving to page 15. First, we can see the group every pre-PPA and IR cost down 1% year on year, practically flat in service and down 1.4 points in wind turbine new units. The comparison in service shows the positive impact of the FX derivative in Q2 18 and does not exist in Q2 19. There is also negative impact from pricing, but all very much compensated by the good progression of the productivity improvements. In WTG business, the comparison shows that the one-time positive impact of the reversal of the inventory impairment in Q2 18 and a positive impact coming from better performance of the fleet and the products on our ordinary warranty provisions in Q2 19 via releases to adjust to current better cost level, a strong negative pricing impact, and negative impact from project mix and scope in onshore. And offshore overall performance continued to compensate onshore. Looking at our H1 19 EBIT margin of 6.8% and considering a stronger second half, both in revenues and margins, we can say that we are already within the EBIT margin guidance for the fiscal year 2019 of 7%-8.5%. So by the first half, SGRE performance sits within both the revenue and EBIT margin guidance for the group. Moving to page 16, let me explain the group EBIT bridge. Pricing remains the main drag in the group EBIT pre-PPA and IR cost evolution, and the transformation program helps compensate most of it, but not all yet. This effect is slightly higher than in Q1 19 because the Q2 18 base, as I explained earlier, presents a more difficult comparison due to the strong projects we work on in Brazil and Mexico. Negative impact also from project mix and scope. A strong positive impact from the different levers of the transformation program. Base productivity, other productivity and fixed cost reduction, and positive impact from volume. And as we move toward the second half, the pricing bar should be shorter and the benefits from the transformation program should continue. And that is what gives us confidence in the second half of 2019. Moving to page 17, we continue to see a sound balance sheet. We move from a net cash position of €615 million at the end of September 18 and of €165 million at the end of Q1 19 down to net debt position on €118 million, driven by the increase in working capital needed to accommodate the activity levels that we expect in H2 19. As we will see in page 19, despite this higher activity level, working capital year on year is down, and net debt is practically stable, which proves our strong commitment to a strict control of working capital. Since the beginning of December, Siemens Gamesa has worked non-stop to optimize our financial resources, improving liquidity, reducing financing costs, and reinforcing our position to take advantage of growth opportunities. An important milestone, as reflected by Marcus, has been our credit rating. We have received an investment grade rating from both Standard & Poor's, BBB- with positive outlook, and Moody's, Baa3 with a stable outlook. And in doing so, we have become the first wind OEM to receive an investment grade rating. This rating reflects our leadership in the wind sector, our solid financial policy, and the soundness of our business and cash flow generation prospects. Most important, the rating reinforces our competitive position in our meetings with clients in bids for large projects, and it opens the possibility to diversify our financing lines outside the pure banking sector in the future, increasing the flexibility of our balance sheet. Moving now to page 18, let me explain the evolution of our working capital. 2 points to highlight here. Working capital investment since end of fiscal year 18 plus €753 million is driven by the need to prepare for the activity in H2 19 with inventories up €500 million in the end of fiscal year 18, and second, a reduction in trade payables by €253 million. Despite the expected growth in revenues in fiscal year 19, plus 15% growth on average, in comparison to the revenue decline we experienced in fiscal year 18, Q2 working capital has come down by €80 million year on year, leading to a reduction of the working capital to revenues ratio on 0.9 points from 3 points in Q2 18 to 2.2 in Q2 19, which attests to our strict control of working capital. We continue to maintain this strict control of working capital and expect to see an improvement as we approach to the final quarter of fiscal year 19. Now moving to page 19, very important to us also a rigorous control over plan and actual CAPEX spending, what we call smart CAPEX. On one hand, further wind LCOE reduction depends on more efficient products with higher energy yields, and that requires R&D investments. From January to April, Siemens Gamesa has presented to the market two new product platforms, one in offshore and other in offshore, both offering double-digit increase in annual energy production. On the other hand, new products and growth opportunities require investment in tangible assets. This is especially true in the offshore market, where growth opportunities seem to be constantly upgraded. So CapEx and smart investing is critical in this sector today. In Q2 19, total CapEx amounted to €108 million, equivalent to 4.5% of LTM sales. And for the first time, offshore CapEx outweighed onshore CapEx, which reflects the better growth prospect of the offshore business. Moving to page 20, our net debt bridge. Here we can see the evolution of the net cash to net debt position in the quarter. Generating cash is our priority. Sustainable cash generation in the long term. Quarterly performance is, however, impacted by different events in Q2 19. We have generated €84 million of gross operating cash flow in the quarter. We have invested €226 million in working capital to deliver all the activity plan for H2 19. Last year, the investment in working capital during Q2 18 was above €400 million, nearly twice as much as this year. Third, we have invested €108 million in CapEx to meet our product needs and revenue growth needs, as explained before. Then we have €55 million in uses of provisions in Adwen. We should see this negative trend reverting by end of fiscal year 19. And moving to page 21, before I hand over the presentation to our CEO, Markus Tacke, the promised update on the LEAD 2020 program. You are familiar with this slide. Cost savings remain fully on track as we reach the midpoint of our LEAD 2020 program. We have reached productivity of more than €1 billion, including €270 million in synergies since we start. Please bear in mind that the original target was €230 million, so we are achieving synergies faster than anticipated when we merge. This means that during the first half of fiscal year 19, we have generated recurring productivities of €300 million, of which 100 have been synergies. We have also delivered over €150 million in one-time productivity, of which €50 million have been generated in H1 19. So everything really on track to meet our overall targets. And with this, let me hand over the presentation to our CEO, Markus Tacke. Markus?
Thank you, David, for your analysis and perfect explanations. Projections anticipate total wind capacity to increase each year by around 70 gigawatt at an annual rate of 5%, driven by offshore and emerging markets in onshore. This is 40% more than the 51 gigawatt installed in 2018. In onshore, China is seen as the main area for growth, with an additional 6.6 gigawatt every year between 2019 and 2025, followed by the U.S., their growth will be supported by growing competitiveness and a rising interest from corporations, utilities, local governments, and public opinion. Those two countries, along with India and Germany, will account for more than 60% of total installations. The offshore market is expected to grow 20% every year, supported by China and Europe, led by the United Kingdom, the US, and Taiwan. In conclusion, I would like to reiterate our confidence that we are on the right track. We are developing the right products to address the challenges facing wind power in this new energy area. We had two important milestones during the first half of 2019, the launching of the new turbines. The offshore turbine SG1093 with high energy yield and an unmatched reliability, and the SG5.8 platform that offers a double-digit increase in AP and is suitable for most of the relevant markets across the globe. Let me summarize. So let me brief turn again to our fiscal year 2019 guidance, which we confirm. Taking into account project execution time in onshore and offshore, our second quarter and 2019 results were in line with our revenue and EBIT margin guidance for the year. As mentioned earlier, our order backlog has enabled us to achieve 96% of our midpoint revenue guidance and 100% of the lower end. As for the remainder of the fiscal year, EBIT margin pre-PPA and INR cost is supported by the acceleration of our transformation program, while we anticipate headwinds like commodity pricing and volatility in the emerging markets. In addition, synergies of 1.2% of revenues by the end of fiscal year 19 are included in our margin expectations. The impact of PPA amortization of intangible fair value is estimated at €250 million for the whole fiscal year, with €133 million in the first half year 2019, while the impact of integration and restructuring cost is expected to amount to €160 million, with €54 million in the first half year. So let me conclude to recap the past quarter. Our sound commercial activity supports growth in the fiscal year 2019 and beyond. Our financial results were solid in line with our guidance giving execution timing. And we continue to see strong growth prospects in the global wind market, and we have taken bold steps to take part in that growth. In this context, I could not end the presentation without reiterating we are proud to have launched two new competitive turbine platforms to the market in the past month. First, further driving the technology agenda of our industry. Thank you for your attention, and now I'll open the floor for your questions. Thank you very much.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We kindly request that you limit your question to one per turn. Please be informed that in order to assure audio quality, we recommend that all questions be asked from landlines. Thank you. The first question comes from the line of Supriya Subramanian, calling from UBS. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, and thank you for taking my question. I just had two, if I may. One is on potential supply chain issues. The CPIC last week announced some issues with their Mexico manufacturing facility. So do you see any risk to execution, especially given the U.S. heavy execution in 2019, and broader any other supply chain constraints that could hamper 2019 execution? And then I'll come back to my second question.
Thanks for the question on supply chain. We have developed our global footprint very consistently over the past years. We have installations around the globe. We are developing in many countries where there is a significant market additional capacity to create an independence of local changes in regulations in terms of our supply chain. We have progressed that over the last year. While we certainly have a focus on development on supply chains and commodity pricing around the globe, as I've mentioned, we feel comfortable with our current setup of our supply chain. We see us. Yes.
Next question, Supriya. The second question.
Second was on margins. One is, if you could you share any indication of the, at least even subjectively, the potential benefit that you got this quarter from the revised provisioning policy, and between equipment and service, how would this be split? And also, given that we have achieved about 6.8% in first half, how do you see margins progressing into second half? What would be the headwinds, tailwinds to achieve, let's say, the lower end or the higher end of the guidance? Thank you.
Thank you, Supriya. I think that there are two questions within the same one. The first is related to the potential releases of provisions or warranties,
mm-hmm.
and the second is regarding the guidance. Right. I will answer the first, and I will allow our CEO to confirm the guidance. So regarding the provisions, it is important not to mix concepts. The release of the provisions that we already anticipated in Q1, if you remember,
mm-hmm.
stand at and that is affecting this quarter stands at around 30 million euros, and it is fully associated to a better performance of our fleet and our products, especially the 7-megawatt offshore product. This is a one-time non-cash impact that will translate into lower cash costs in the future and lower level of ordinary provisions also in the future. So this is a normal course of the business, and as I anticipated in the Q1 results, it is impacting. But there is only one small change. Instead of impacting the service business, it's mainly impacting our offshore business, and this is a productivity improvement of our product 7-megawatt fleet. And I let Marcus to confirm the guidance.
Thank you, David. It is important, as David has explained, and I want just to reiterate that question, as it I think is a very key question. There needs to be separated the release of provisions and benefits out of productivity improvements. The majority of what we've seen in quarter two is productivity improvements in our service area as well as our installation area, and we could announce recently a very successful installation of a project where you see those speeding up of installation processes has its impact on our forward costing of project and warranty activities that we have. I think that concept needs to be clear, and happy to go into more details if that is necessary. With regard to guidance, we feel comfortable with the guidance given as we have said. We are comfortable with achieving the midpoint. We have said that we, in the revenue guidance, we have today covered 96% of the midpoint. We have covered the low end as of today already. So we feel quite comfortable with achieving the midpoint in the guidance, as we have said earlier, with the progress in second half year, additional volume. There's a record installation coming this summer. In onshore as well as in offshore, which is driving, will drive our margins. So also in terms of profitability, where we are today almost at the lower end of the guidance with the first year half year result, we feel comfortable towards the midpoint of the guidance for the full fiscal year.
Thank you.
Next question.
The next question comes from the line of Akash Gupta calling from JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I have my first question on the financial as well. And if I look at intangible investments, as you talked about earlier, David, that has gone up because you are investing in new turbines. But what I see is that the capitalization has increased versus Q2 last year, and P&L charge of R&D has gone down as well. So maybe if you can talk about, has there been any change in your capitalization ratio, given that you are now investing in more in offshore turbines with a longer life? That's question number one.
Thank you, Akash. We have not changed our capitalization policy. What we have said is that for the first time, the R&D in offshore is higher than in onshore due to the better growth prospects that we will see in the future in offshore. That's all.
Thank you. And my second question is on French offshore projects, where you have selected as preferred suppliers for another project in last month. When do you expect these projects to likely enter in backlog, and has there been any update in the last couple of months? Thank you.
As it has been pointed out by David, these projects come out of the auctions in 2012. We are very proud that we could offer a workable solution for the owner of the project, and we have preferred supplier now for this additional 1 gigawatt in France, giving us access to 2.5 gigawatt in total as of today of the French pipeline, which is positioning us there certainly as the in a very leading position. I think, and you know that it is subject to the French authorities to finally conclude the project, and they will move forward. But I'm quite confident with the number of discussions of stakeholders in that context that we see them moving in 2020, 2021.
Next question.
The next question comes from the line of Ji Shant, calling from Citi. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning. G from Citi. So I have two questions, if I may, too. So first one on ASPs. So you mentioned stable pricing, but on the order ASP of 0.72, even ex-China, is still lower versus previous quarters. And I just wanted some color on what the driver is behind this.
Thank you for your question. As we have explained, we see a very stable ASP. So for us, 0.72, if we exclude the Chinese project, is absolute stability. If we move into the pricing concept in the range that we have always anticipated, that the stabilization in prices for us means that apples with apples year on year is between -3% and -5%, we continue to see ourselves in the range of -3%. So clear stabilization in prices.
Thank you, David. Next question.
The next question comes from the... The next question comes from the line of Mark Freshney, calling from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Hello. I have two questions, if I may. Firstly, on the trade payables, it was a very large benefit that you had in the quarter. Can you give some more color as to what was driving that? Was it prepayments? Was it out of the US? And secondly, it's interesting that you've decided you want the option to bypass the bank market for finance. Are there any plans for you to do a bond issue or to restructure the funding or the debt side of the balance sheet? Thank you.
Regarding the first question regarding trade payables, what we have seen is an evolution from -2.6 billion euros in the Q1 19 to -2.5 in the Q2 fiscal year 19. So, to be honest, I don't see a real, as you are describing, a real increase or better performance that way. We see a really a flat topic. Of course, in the future, what we will see is that we are working on the trade payables, and we will see in the H2 of the year how this is collaborating in the reduction of the working capital that we will see at the end of the year. Sorry, and regarding the rating and the bond issue. So first of all, as I have highlighted, to have an investment grade is a big achievement of this company. We are the first OEM in receiving. So we are doing, first of all, for our commercial activity. We have seen how the large projects are impacting dramatically some of our competitors. So in that sense, to be an investment grade company allows us to bid for larger projects that we are seeing mainly in the offshore market. And second, regarding what we are doing in our balance, of course, we are open to do any financial instrument that will allow us to be more efficient and more flexible. As you know, we have a 2.5 billion euro syndicate loan that is our main financial instrument for the liquidity purposes. But, of course, we are assuming around between 3.5 and 4 billion euros of liquidity. And for that, what we are doing is, of course, looking for the most flexible and efficient source of funding that we can have. So no decision taken yet. Is made mainly for commercial purposes.
Thank you very much.
Before we take the next question, please be reminded, if you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypads. The next question comes from the line of Sean McLaughlin, calling from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning. My first question is on restructuring. You're increasing your restructuring costs on acceleration of transformation measures. Can we expect an upgrade on the benefits as a result? And the second question is just looking at the second half margin prospects. It's clear that execution in offshore can obviously bring a positive margin aspect. I mean, how important is that in your second half margin prospects, or is the delta really on onshore? Thank you.
Thanks for the question. Let me first comment on the planned integration restructuring cost up from 130 that was originally planned to 160. We have an acceleration of some of the transformation measures. You have heard David in commenting on the synergies that are going quite well. And behind the synergies, certainly there are also some restructuring measures going forward. And we have taken the decision to accelerate some of them, giving a positive outlook for the next fiscal years to come, dealing with this issue within this fiscal year. In terms of margin contributions between offshore and onshore, I can confirm you that the improvement of margins in the second half year versus the first half year will be driven by onshore as well as offshore driving the margin. Both are will see significant revenue increases half year over half year, and both will positively contribute to a higher margin in the second half year of fiscal year 2019.
Thank you.
Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Alok Khatri calling from Societe Generale. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Alok Khatri from SocGen. Thanks for taking my questions. A couple from my side as well. So the first question really is just on the onshore orders. You sort of mentioned already that you know, a softer quarter was expected, but just wondering how you see the pipeline going forward, any specific regions where you see far stronger prospects in a way as well, and how do we square this with, you know, what some of your peers have been reporting? So that's on onshore orders, question number one. Question number two, a bit specifically on India as well. Could you comment a bit on the market and competitive dynamics over there? Obviously, Senvion has a pretty strong backlog over there, and we don't have the troubles there. Plus, we are also hearing of delays in installations from previous auctions. So any color in terms of how the dynamics are in India would be helpful. Thanks. So those two.
Shift of order entry from quarter two in quarter three out of fired. So overall, we feel quite comfortable.
Hello?
Greater than one.
Hi, sorry. I think the line was quite bad. Mind sort of repeating that? Because there's nothing that was coming through. Thanks.
Okay, sorry for that. Quickly repeat. I feel to summarize what I've said, there was a quarterly shift between quarter two, quarter three, with one specific larger order. If you look at the order entry, it is helpful to look for a period longer than one quarter. Overall, for the year, I feel quite comfortable with the order entry that we will achieve a book-to-bill greater one, as we have indicated in our Capital Markets Day. And we, I'm comfortable that this is a shift quarter over quarter, has no implication on the overall yearly order entry. On India specifically, you see the auctions going forward. SECI 7 has been mentioned as the next auction to be celebrated. We have the SECI 2 hybrid auction been executed. So from an activity point of view, India is certainly delivering at the high end. We feel strongly positioned in India, giving our regional and local setup with full manufacturing capability. So we are have a strong presence in the Indian market. We have been a strong position in the past. We have regained that strong position after the slowdown of the market. So overall, I'm quite comfortable with the prospects of the Indian market and our position there. You've seen that in the order entry and recently. With regard to competitors you were mentioning, I will not comment on competitors and what they are currently doing in the market.
Thank you, Markus. The next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Michael Ray, calling from Redburn. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, morning. Just looking at the offshore market, as you show it on slide 23, it looks quite flat year on year in 2020, and there's obviously strong growth in later years. Is that a good proxy for your business in terms of gigawatts installed? Just because if I add up the projects you're due to be working on, it looks like installations will actually fall in the offshore in 2020. But the question is, do you think you can achieve flat or even growth next year? Thanks.
We certainly, if you look at the offshore specifics, we need to acknowledge that the time between booking and installation can be easily 3 years and above. The time between project development and execution might be even longer. So the order entry we are currently seeing and the announcement we have done, be it the announcement in France or the announcement with our new platform for Hanse Küst Süd, this is order entry to be executed in 21 and 22 and even beyond. So you're right, the installations in 18, 19, and 20 reflect order backlog. Most of it reflect order backlog, 18 anyhow, but 19 and 20 reflect order backlog that is being contracted some time ago. So we have strong visibility on the revenue growth perspectives of offshore.
Okay, thank you.
Only one clarification. These two big projects, the France 1 gigawatt and the other one with Vattenfall, are not included in the backlog that we can see in the slide number 7. We are preferred supplier, but we have not already included in our backlog yet.
Okay, thanks.
Next question, please.
The next question comes from the line of Fernando Lafuente, calling from Alantra. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning to all, and congratulations for your recently achieved rating. I just wanted to make three quick questions. The first one is related to the rating. One of the things David said was that one of the potentials is to get growth opportunities. I was wondering where you see these opportunities and which kind of opportunities they are. My second question is on the level of provision. It's been very clear, the explanation. I just wanted to double-check what would be a recurrent or normalized level of provisions booked in the P&L from now on. If it's going to be more in the region of 1.something percent, that should appear from the adjustments of the 30 million euros one-off that you said. And the last one, in terms of megawatts, it's one of the slides is quite clear, your bridge to the guidance for this year in terms of euros, million euros. I was wondering if you could give us an indication of the megawatts, specifically in onshore, that you expect for the full year. Thank you.
So, thank you, Fernando. So I will answer the first two questions, and I will allow our CEO to talk about the commercial prospects. So regarding rating, of course, as you know, And as we have been already anticipating, offshore is going to be the main driver for the growth of this sector and of this company. We have a clear leading position in offshore. We expect the offshore prospects to be improved and upgraded on a yearly basis. So any single quarter, we are seeing new countries moving into this new offshore trend. So the major part of the growth is going to come from offshore. Obviously, the majority of these big projects are coming, as in the case of Seamate, with long-term operation and maintenance contracts. So to your first question regarding the rating, it allows us to participate in much more bids and in much larger projects in the case of offshore. Regarding your second question about provisions, and again, I think that Marcus was really clear on that, but let me be a little more specific here. This is not a one-off. This is a recurrent improvement of our team, especially our design team and our execution team. What we are seeing is how the availability of, for example, of our D7 platform in the case of offshore that has more than 1 year into operations is beating expectations. And in that sense, what we are doing is reducing in the future the level of provisions, mainly in the case of offshore. As you know, we never disclose the split between onshore and offshore. Obviously, in the case of offshore, it's much more an ad hoc process in which we take into account the distance to the coast, the kind of turbine that we're installing, if it's a new one or not. And in that sense, what we can see is that as an average, we are reducing the provisions that we will book in our accounts from now on. So, and I allow Marcus to answer the third question.
The question was on where we have the growth prospects in terms of megawatts, I understand. Certainly, if you look at page 23, the number one growth possibility is in offshore, with a significant growth potential for the years 21 and beyond. And here we the market is developing from a North European market into a global market with Taiwan and the U.S., the key countries to be named, outside of countries in Europe and certainly led by the U.K. The picture in onshore looks somewhat different. We see overall growth prospects. Key one is also out of slide 23 that the established mature markets somehow have a flattish development. However, the emerging markets, this is where the growth potential is. And currently we see, especially in Latin America, named Brazil, we see opportunities in India. We discussed India has the potential to become the largest wind market behind China going forward. So there is a significant opportunities, but also in established markets like Spain and the U.S., we still see some good opportunities to realize our growth expectations for the next year.
Thank you, Marcus. And now I'm going to read aloud G's question that I got him, and I apologize for that, G. And he wants to know, given now that we are in Q2 and we are covered for the low end of the revenue guidance for fiscal year 19, and you are planned and we have a planning for more back-end loaded project execution schedule, what is preventing us from upping our guidance range or at least upping our lower end of guidance for the year?
As I've said, we feel comfortable with the midpoint of the guidance, and that is what we communicate today.
Thank you, Marcus. Do you want to conclude the call?
Yeah, happy to conclude. Thanks for participating. It was another strong quarter for Siemens Gamesa, delivering in line with the expectations and the guidance, taking into account what we had, David and myself, communicated. We have a back-end loaded year. That is fully in line what we see in first half year and also in the second quarter, how we perform. Not to mention two specific achievements in the quarter. We have continued to drive our technology agenda in onshore as well as in offshore, bringing new turbines and turbine platforms to the market. And at the same time, could obtain a credit rating, an investment grade rating, to confirm the strong balance sheet of our company, giving us, as David has pointed out, opportunities, especially in the commercial area. So thanks for joining. Looking forward to talk to you.